Isaiah chapter 36. I want to make sure this is on. I need all the help I can get. All right. It's a privilege to preach, and definitely an honor. I wanted to thank Mitchell for that message this morning. He fed us so well this morning that we'll all go to sleep tonight. So I've already had some threatenings of breaking out the pillows and all that good stuff. So Brother Conley's said he'd give me a itemized list of all the things I do wrong. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Isaiah chapter 36. I heard a message on this portion of Scripture some time ago. I actually have the message, and I can't tell you how many times I've listened to that message over and over. It's just it's been a very, very big help to me, and I think if it's a help to me, it will be a help to someone here. And that is about how the devil will get us to surrender. I believe this message can be a help to us if we'll... I think all of us can see the similarities here and what the devil does to cause us to surrender. But Isaiah chapter 36, we'll read some here. Kind of the background here is the king of Assyria is come against Jerusalem. And this is the time of King Hezekiah. And he, if you remember, King Hezekiah was a very godly king. He was the one that came in and destroyed the groves and the way that of worship of the false gods. And so he was a very godly king, feared God. And it was also the time of the prophet Isaiah. So there's some great men of God at this time. And let's just go ahead and start reading chapter 36, verse 1. Of Isaiah. It says, "Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judea and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army." We see how great this army is later on. The angel of the Lord finally killed 185,000, so it was a very great army with this general. "So from Lachish to Jerusalem, unto the king Hezekiah with a great army, and he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. But if thou say to me, We trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar. Now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? In verse 10 it says, And am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, Go up against this land and destroy it. All right, we'll go ahead and stop reading there. Let's go ahead and open in prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can look at your word, Lord, and see the importance, Lord, of guarding our lives from the devil, and Lord, just being watchful of his devices and the way that he causes us to surrender many times in our lives. We pray, Lord, that this message would be a help to all of us tonight. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I haven't even started yet, and I'm thirsty. So, this message from the king of Assyria, he sends his general, and he's seeking the surrender of Jerusalem. That's what the point of this whole speech is. And this message from the king of Assyria might as well have been from the devil himself. You see the audacity of it. Satan is always seeking our and desiring our surrender. He is a master at deceiving us. If he cannot force us to surrender, he has to win the battle in our minds. We know that with every temptation there's a way of escape. So we know we have an escape, but what are we going to do when the devil comes and messes with our minds? We're going to see several things here. But he has to win this battle in our minds until we just simply hand over our weapons and surrender. He knows exactly what our weak spots are. And the very first thing he strikes at here, and it'll be in verse 4 here, is, let's read that again, verse 4, it says, "And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest?" What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? We can ask ourselves this question, where is our confidence? When we ask it, when God asks this, it's a good thing. It's once in a while we need to ask ourselves, where is our confidence? Sometimes we get our confidence in the wrong thing. But when the devil asks us this, it's to cause our confidence. He's calling doubt upon our confidence. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul had confidence. Like I said, Satan will ask this question to trip us up. Every time the devil comes to you with this, it's not with good intention. Where is our confidence tonight? We must have confidence in God's Word, in His promises. Another thing He'll do with our confidence is He will cause us accuse us of our old false confidence. Has the devil ever brought up your old false confidence? The times that you leaned on your own understanding? He'll do this to us, and he'll win more times than not. He'll accuse you of your old confidence. In verse 6, it says, find that here. In verse 6, he says, "Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him." He's saying, look, you guys were just trusting in Egypt the other day. Why do you say now you're trusting in God? And they were guilty of this. We see in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1, it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." They were guilty of this. They had gone to Egypt. They had seen the trouble coming, and instead of trusting in God, like many times we do, we run to the world. We run to the wrong place. He'll accuse us of our old false confidence. Like I said, how many times do we, instead of going to God, how many times do we lean on our own understanding, on that arm of flesh we so often fall back on? Satan will use this to bring us to despair and just give up. If he can convince us that that our confidence is not steadfast in God, then what hope do we have? Why don't we just give up? He will get us to sin, and then he will use it to condemn us over and over. It's his tactic. The very first thing he'll do is strike your confidence. All right, secondly, he will cause you to doubt even your method of worship. Look here in verse 7. In verse 7 it says, "But if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar?" He's saying, look, Hezekiah the king, he's destroyed these groves. He's destroyed the places that these people were worshiping. And what he's trying to do here is trying to convince them that they have destroyed the very worship of God. This is very interesting when it comes to the church. I believe the devil does this so many times. The devil has always had a false worship set up on this earth for as long as man has walked the earth. For everything God has, the devil will have a counterfeit right there beside it. And he is always appearing as an angel of light, trying to deceive whoever will fall for it. God had told them when they came into the land to destroy the groves, destroy the altars. So they had done what was right. Hezekiah did this. We talked about, you know, Hezekiah, he was a godly king. He did what God told him to do. But still, the devil tries to get in there and say, you have destroyed the very worship of God. In this day we live in, do we not see the false worship, the false confidence that people have in religion? And, you know, Satan will try to say, you know, as long as you're sincere in the way you worship, as long as you're sincere, you're fine. You can serve God however you want, as long as you're sincere. All religion leads to God. How many times have you heard that in this day we live in? We must be exclusive because God is exclusive. The reason why we're exclusive is God's Word tells us what and how we are to worship. And Joshua 24:14 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Are we going to believe God's Word, or are we going to believe man's Word? Jesus told us, you know, it's a narrow way. You know, few that there be that find it. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And still, there's so many false religions, so many false religions. The masses are flocking to the most entertaining, the most attractive. You know, what's the newest? You know, everything around us this day is what's about attracting. What's attractive? And I think one of the most, you know, the thing that the devil is using so much now is the charismatic movement. It is sweeping the globe. If you hear about it, it's just, I remember going to Papua New Guinea when I went, and they're everywhere there, just on that little island. I remember there was at near the market, you know, charismatic, you know, teenage girls out there preaching, and it was interesting, but it's an attractive mode of worship for many people. It appears exciting. It appears to have something to it, but it's all the devil's false facade. We have separated ourselves from the false worship of God. Those that have worshipped in truth through the ages have most often found themselves excluded or in small groups. Many times, true worship of God is not in a large mass of people. Unfortunately, we see that through history. Many times they were persecuted. But we still, the truth that we have in God's Word is what binds true worship of God together and what has bound it together for over the centuries. So we must stick to truth. We must be exclusive in our worship to God. And the devil will try, like I said, he's trying here to deceive the king, Hezekiah, and the people of Jerusalem and saying, you guys have destroyed the very worship of God. How can you even stand against me? And if he can convince them of that, they might as well surrender. They might as well surrender. And the devil would not like nothing more than to convince us that we have secluded ourselves here and the true worship of God is out there. And if he can convince us of that, then we would just give up in despair. We must remember who we're serving, and we must worship him in sincerity and in truth. Thirdly, he will promise you great things if you will just surrender to him. Let's look in verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9. We won't be too long tonight, I don't think. I've never preached this message, so I don't know really how long it goes. Verse 8 and 9 says, "Now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen?" Give up Jerusalem for 2,000 horses. Does that sound like a good trade to you? The place that they worship God, the place that they see, they saw the glory of God. I would love to go to Jerusalem someday. I know, I think several here have gone there. But talk about amazing city. Give up Jerusalem for 2,000 horses. The devil makes false promises. He told Eve, "You shall not surely die," when God specifically told her that they would if they ate of the fruit. And he also told them, "You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Listen, the devil makes promises he cannot keep. He makes promises that are not true. He will do everything he can to promise something, and then he will leave you. Look in Scripture. What promise has the devil ever kept in Scripture? What promise has he ever kept? I don't know of any. He will try to get you to trade church for a job, a good deal on a car that just won't wait. Teenager, he will promise you friends if you'll forsake your true friends. He'll promise you popularity. It will just cost your testimony. What are you going to allow the devil? What are you going to allow the devil to do to get you out of church? You know, the more and more I see, more and more I grow up, more and more importance I see the church is. I think there's safety in the house of God. There's safety in the house of God. I think that's one of the first steps on a slippery slope in the wrong direction. And I'm thankful I grew up in a church like this. I believe I was about 8 or 9 years old when we first came here. And I didn't have to go out and try things just to see if they were true or not. You know, I heard truth from this pulpit, and I was able to, praise the Lord, have faith that it was truth. I saw many people go out and make the wrong decisions, and I was able to learn from that. And you don't have to go out and see what the devil promises if it's true or not. You don't have to put yourself through that. His promises are not true. Stay close to the church. Lastly here, is one of the most, I think the hardest thing that Satan, or that the king of Assyria brought against them. And that is, Satan will try to convince you that the Lord is against you. He will try to convince you that the Lord himself is against you. Look with me in verse 10. In verse 10 here, it says, "And am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it." He said, the Lord is with me, and the Lord told me to come up and destroy this land. I don't know about you, but if I was there on the wall of Jerusalem, those would have been some difficult words. They were told to put their trust in God. Hezekiah told them, look, keep your trust in God. God will deliver us. And here, the king of Assyria is saying, God told me to come up and destroy you. Who are you going to believe? If Satan can convince us that God hates us, then what hope do we have left? What hope do we have if God can, if He can convince us that God is against us? He is seeking the surrender of the city, and He says, "God is against you, and God called me up to destroy you." The children of Israel, if you remember, God had brought them out of the land of Egypt through great miracles, and He brought them out into the wilderness, and you know, they're all excited. They're out of Egypt, and before you know it, they're complaining. Things aren't going the way they thought it would go. You know, they don't have the leeks and the onions anymore. And what did they say? They said, "God brought us out here to destroy us." And that is exactly what the devil will try to say to us. He'll say, you know, "God brought you all this way just to destroy you." But we know that's not true. God, He tells us He will never leave us nor forsake us. The children of Israel started looking at their circumstances and thought God had brought them out of Egypt just to destroy them. You know, we can do the same thing. If we start looking at our circumstances and get our eyes, you know, speaking about this at the Native Hospital and about the children of Israel and how that in Deuteronomy it talks about how God was proving them. He was humbling them through all these things. The manna, He said He was humbling them and proving them to see what was in their heart. And that's what happens with us. When we come into a deep trial in our lives, many times it's just the Lord trying to prove us and see what's in our heart. And too many times we respond in the wrong way. And the devil starts whispering in our ears, "The Lord's against you. The Lord's here to destroy you." And if He can convince us that God is here to destroy us, what hope do we have? Like I said, we will just give up in despair. And I believe this is the way the devil brings many people to suicide. If he can convince a Christian or anybody that God is, nobody's for them, God's against them. He will tell you that the circumstances you are encountering is because God's against you. Even when God chastises us, you know, everything God does in relation to His children is out of love. God never deals with His children out of a hatred, out of an anger, only out of a godly anger. But even when He chastises us as children, it's out of love. It's not out of hate. It's for our own good. He's not out to destroy us. When He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, He meant it. Listen, don't let Satan cause you to lose hope in God. You know, in this day we live in, we must put our trust in God. We must not give in to the world's promises, the devil's promises. So I hope these four things, like I said, these things I run through my mind a lot. You know, He will try to destroy your confidence in God. He will try to destroy your confidence in God. And He'll bring up your old confidence. He'll try to accuse you. He'll accuse you over and over of your old false confidence until you'll surrender. And He'll cause you to even doubt the method of worship. You know, what we have here. And then, of course, He will give you promises that He cannot keep. And lastly, like we talked about, He will convince you that the Lord is against you. Let's bow our heads tonight. Not a long message tonight, but...